Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Let me tell you about Moo.com. Promo code Drinking Bros. Gonna get you 20% off your first order over there. Did you know there's an online cannabis store that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to target nearly every mood and health concern you can think of. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. Whether that's the magic mind gummies for deep work and creativity, the PMS support to ease cramps and balance mood swings, or their sexual euphoria gummies to help you feel ready for the action at every turn, and touch into a full body experience over there. Listen, I love the night-night gummies, as I call them, the sleepy time gummies. I take, right now they're 15 milligrams. I cut it in half, and I take half a night. 15 minutes, dude, you are gone. I've never had anything like it. 15, 20 minutes tops, and I'm out. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days, gas stations, whatever. Mood's functional gummies, though, combine premium federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. Plus, Texas Governor Abbott just said it was all right to get these shipped through the mail. He vetoed the bill down here. Thank God. So order from mood.com today. Use that promo code Drinking Bros for 20% off your first order. Everything ships discreetly right to your front door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with the promo code Drinking Bros. So head on over to mood.com. Find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. Don't forget to use the promo code Drinking Bros when you check out to save 20% off your first order.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros Fake News, D'Anthony. How's the volume in your headphones?
Too loud.
The reason I ax, D'Anthony, is when it's too loud, I am the opposite of Michelle Obama. When they go low, we're in agreement. I go high, Dan, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
You own her book. You championed her Netflix documentary. You're a big fan. You're a big fan.
I didn't know there was a Netflix documentary.
Oh, yeah. And they signed a massive deal with Netflix, somewhere in the $100 million range, to produce films for Netflix. The first one that came out was a documentary about her book tour. It is as boring as it sounds. Since we're talking about it, have you heard the fucking rumor about the Big Mike thing?
About her being a dude or some shit?
Yeah. I talked about her in Ross Patterson Revolution. I think it's ridiculous, and I want to get that out there. That in no way, shape, or form do I believe that is true. Mm. But I did not know it either. I was shocked to see it when she was trending and Big Mike was trending. I was like, who the fuck is Big Mike?
Yeah, that's weird. But
no, nothing weirder, though, than what's going on in today's news. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a never-ending shit show, kids, and we're here to give you the realest fake news of the week. Starting off with why the establishment really, really hates Donald Trump. Obviously, if you've read CNN this week, first off, we're sorry for you, and we want to offer our condolences. But you also may have seen the article, or the other article, or the article, or the other one, or the other one, or the other one, about Trump running out of donor money and not having enough money to fund his own campaign. Therefore, he's going to do it himself. Drudge Report, which has now turned super left as well, also reported on this, D'Anthony. Mm-hmm. What are they trying to prove by this? Because if this was Bernie Sanders, they would be championing it, you know? Oh, man, you don't need money. You shouldn't run on money.
Well, I think the point they're trying to make is that he's kind of the antithesis of Bernie Sanders, right? Like that whole narrative that look at how many donors I have is supposed to equate to support and somehow. And in Bernie Sanders' case, I guess it did, because he only took individual donations and didn't take corporate donations. And that's the same with Trump. So CNN's been running these articles one after another discussing how his campaign's in trouble and they're running out of money. And that's something that his campaign doesn't really give a shit about, because he can just lay out his own cash, right?
Right.
And I think that rightfully makes people nervous. Anybody like that, like Bloomberg or him, or anybody that can fund their own campaign without having to suck corporate dick to get money, is a problem for them. I mean, typically, most campaigns have to take money from, you know, big corporations.
Super PACs and all that
PACs,
shit.
PACs, yeah. Unions, other special interest groups and stuff like that. And he doesn't need their money. So.
Yeah, he doesn't need their money. And here's what I've noticed, me personally, at least over the course of the last, I'd say 2 weeks now at this point, right? Ever since the Democrats pivoted and said, oh my God, their internal polls showed that everybody hates violence,
right?
Which they clearly do. The media has gotten together and just gone all in on every single possible negative thing you could do against Trump. Because we're, what, 57 days out from this election now?
Maybe less, actually. Shit. I think we might be down around 53. So it's getting close. The interesting thing to me, though, is with all of this negative press, including CNN and all this other shit, right? I haven't heard one word about Biden.
What do you mean?
It has been 24 hours of Trump still to this day. It has been nothing but Trump, 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 this, the Woodward book, everything else. When you have nothing positive to say about your candidate, and your candidate is not really out there, and you're all consumed by Trump, again, I hate to repeat this, but this is really starting to feel like 2016 again.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's and the Woodward book thing, people are acting like this is some kind of, like, smoking gun revelation. No, Trump is always flippant with the words he uses.
Yeah.
It's not, this is nothing new. I don't know why everybody thinks this is such a big deal. Like,
I don't either. And it was an honest conversation that he clearly knew was on the record. So what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like he got caught on a hot mic or anything. He was like, the point about him saying we need to downplay the COVID thing, clearly what he meant by that was that he didn't want to create a state of panic.
Yeah, right.
That's not the best way to say that. Like, we should get the facts.
Yeah. Right? Which it seemed like that's what he was saying of, like, look, man, we think this could be bad. We're not really sure. But either way, let's not freak everybody out about it just yet until we figure out what's happening. Therefore, I think this is going to go away. So far, none of this is stuck, including the CNN thing with he's out of money. Great. Yeah. So he's just going to fund his own campaign. Who gives a shit?
Like, yeah. I mean, he clearly doesn't. And they run article after article like that he's super upset about this or super upset about that. How long do you think you could last in the Trump administration if you were leaking shit to the press? If you, like, just...
An hour.
Like, give me a fucking break. They act like they've got some fucking secret spy in there. They're like, oh, we heard from these people that he said this. Like, no, you didn't. You just made that shit up.
Yeah.
Honestly, that there's no way that would have happened. That's like somebody... I mean, look, he runs a pretty tight ship. Even when he was running private businesses... you can call it whatever you want, but if somebody wasn't on message, then you're gone.
Right.
Like, this is my company. I want to run it the way I want. And in this case, I was elected president, not you. So shut the fuck up.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of how it goes, right?
Yeah. And what I've noticed, you know, from an outsider perspective is his circle has become very, very small now, because a lot of these people who did leak shit out for book deals and all this other shit are out. And a lot of people were asking, they were like, why did he have his whole family speak at the RNC a couple weeks ago? Well, that's who we trust. And that's who's out in the media with him every single day. And it's like the people that are really going to go to bat for him are his family. And then he doesn't owe him anything after that.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of these people with the DNC, like I heard they're starting to stock the cabinet with who those people might be. It's crazy to me that some of it has gotten out. Like Buttigieg is in there, and they've got some other people already lined up that Biden is kind of confirmed. And it's like, hey, man, you're not in the White House. So do you really want to start confirming people for a cabinet, which might be fake at the end of the day?
Well, I mean, you have to at this point, maybe not publicly, but you have to make those deals because that's how you get all the fans of Buttigieg to vote for you. Right. That's the whole thing. It's cronyism is what it's really called. Like, you offer this guy, like, hey, I know you've got a lot of support. Why don't you, like, say you support me and I'll give you this? It's a transactional deal where you're trying to convince people who probably don't even like Biden to vote for him. Because, and you, if you're on the receiving end of that, if you're using your popular support because of what you believe and how you've communicated what you believe to people, because that's why they like you, to get yourself a job in the government, you're a fucking cunt. Frankly, that's about the worst thing a human being could do, is peddle their influence over other people to benefit themselves.
Right.
That's a really fucking, it's sadistic to do that. And all these people in politics are fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah, man. And it's only going to continue. I saw our friend, Alex Skarlatos, who's running in Oregon right now. The smear campaign, now that he's ahead in the polls out there for his district, the guy that he's running against came out and said that the Paris train attack, that, you know, he was afraid and that he got lucky on that thing. So, I mean, that's getting real low, you know?
That's an interesting thing to say.
Yeah. I mean, It's politics. People are getting nasty out there, man. And now's the time. I mean, you're down to 50-something days, so.
Well, that's our. We can't sit around and complain about that. That's our fault for being stupid. When I say our, I mean Americans. Like, if you can be fooled by ad hominem attacks on somebody and not look at the actual policies and things they support, then you're fucking stupid.
I agree, and I'm glad you brought that up, because to me, with all of this shit in the media, I still have friends, and I don't know if you do as well, who come up to me and they're like, hey, man, do you think Trump is going to pull this out, or do you think he's going to win? And the media is starting to get to them. To me personally, what I always say to my friends and family and all that stuff is, I still, at the heart of this, believe that Americans care about the issues and care about things, and I think they're going to vote for that. I think they're going to look at what Trump has done so far and vote for him. If he had fucked a bunch of shit up, or the economy was shitty or whatever, then I'd say, hey, I don't think he has a shot. Mm-hmm. But I don't, and I think people remember that when they go to the ballot box. And there was something you said a few weeks ago on here about the debates not mattering, where you said people already have their minds made up of who they're going to vote for.
Right.
And are we putting too much stock in these debates coming up? Maybe. I don't know. This is the first year that I can remember with somebody with like some form of cognitive disability trying to get up there.
Well, I mean,
and get through there. I think Ross Perot was the other one. Who was the guy who took out his hearing aids?
Admiral Stockdale. It was his VP candidate.
That's it.
He didn't. He was off the reservation, but he had spent years in a fucking prison camp as well.
Right.
And clearly never came back for it. But in 1984, Ronald Reagan was clearly in mental decline.
Was
for sure.
I was too young to remember. I don't even know if I was born.
You were like 15 years old then.
So Reagan was.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a space cadet by the time his term was over.
Because the rumor was throughout the last 4 years that Nancy was the one that was kind of making the decisions and propping him up. Mm. It seems like, I mean, it's just according to what I've read about Reagan, it seems like Biden would kind of be the same way if he got in there. Because this stuttering thing that the media is also pushing right now of he's so brave that these other kids are coming up and saying, you know, he's got a stutter and I've got a stutter and I look up to Biden. It's like, no, Biden has never had a stutter.
I don't remember one, but
ever.
What do I know?
He's been speaking for 47 years in politics. Like, no, this is the first time that I can remember this. And it's not a stutter. He's just having problems trying to fucking remember shit. And that sucks. That sucks. By the way, if you're watching on YouTube right now, hammer the like button so we can get ahead of the algorithm. And then also, we got Josh Harkis in the studio today. And Giorgio, look at that. We got a new studio here in Austin, Texas. And we got the boys on camera. That's real nice. We'll set up a prettier shot, but we wanted to test this out today. How are you guys?
What's up, everybody?
Yeah.
How's everybody doing?
So if Giorgio fails you today, you can say hashtag fire Giorgio. Now, if a fact is incorrect, you can put hashtag fire Josh on there. If we're asking about who the prime minister is of Japan, like on RPR this morning. So either way, you can go to the message boards and just absolutely hammer them. And then we'll cut back to them. And then you can see their faces as they fuck up in real time. And it'll be great. If not, we might cut back to them and they're doing lines of coke or, you know, having sex with prostitutes. So either way, it's a win-win for the audience. And it's a win-win for us. Welcome to Austin, Texas, Joshua.
Glad to be here.
His mic's not on. And now...
Yeah, it's great to have you, man. For those of you who don't remember or have not been to any of our live shows, Josh has been with us on a ton of these live shows. You've met him, probably the nicest human being on the planet, and the only one that has made Dan smile in real life.
That doesn't sound right.
It is totally true. Next up, another day at the JOB for Hyden Biden and another gaffe. Joe Biden was speaking in Warren, Michigan this week, and he was on the Trump hates the military claim once again. By the way, Trump is the first president who is in 39 years has not started a new war or joined an ongoing international conflict. Before we get into this,
he also just announced a 30% decrease in troops in Iraq.
Right.
Like another one. Everybody, all these fucking Democrats for ever since 2003, really, since like a couple of months, even leading up to the Iraq War, but especially after people started deploying, have decried it, called it evil and this and that and blah, 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 waste of time, waste of money, waste of soldiers' lives. They have been in power for a while. They had a supermajority, as a matter of fact, for a while, and they didn't bring anybody home. As a matter of fact, Obama sent more troops to Afghanistan for a surge, said they were coming home in 18 months, and we're still there. So I'm just kind of curious. You know, he did kind of leave Iraq a little bit and then started sending more people back. You know what I mean? So Trump is the first guy, and fans of the show know that I'm not a fan of this dude, but Trump is the first guy we've had in a leadership position in a very long time that actually does what he says he's going to do.
Yeah.
I think that makes people angry. They're like, no, it's too difficult to get that stuff done. Well, clearly it's not.
Yeah, he did it.
You just don't like the way he's doing it.
Right.
That's your fucking problem. But he's done, I think that should be extremely embarrassing for the left that this one individual has done what they haven't been able to do. And it's been one of their main talking points for a very long time now.
A bigger theme this week that I wanted to ask you about, and I was saving this until the fake news, is there was a story in The Atlantic that Trump hates the military, called them losers and something else. Like, look, some of these Democrats, including Joe Biden, somebody was on our show, Bobby Henlein, used a photo of him and just says, how can you hate somebody like this?
Right.
You know, Bobby's been on the show. He's got burns on, 80% of his body. Mm-hmm. And Bobby came out and released a statement. He said, hey, man, I never said any of that. And I never gave you my likeness to use
right. In
any of these fucking ads you guys are running. So please take it down. The article in The Atlantic has unnamed sources. They're anonymous, which I always hate. Like, if you're going to come out and make a statement that big, say who your fucking sources are and where you heard it from.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe any of that, or is this just election nonsense that, you know, again, 50 something days left until the election?
You know, I mean, I could hear, I think he's a cunt, to be honest, and I could hear him saying something like that, frankly, but I don't think that there's any evidence that he did. I'm certainly not going to believe some anonymous source. Like, Trump says stupid shit all the time. He's been a billionaire forever, and he certainly thinks he's better than you and me. That's how his brain works. You can't be rich for that long and not believe that. I don't think you can be rich and powerful like that without thinking that you're smarter and better than other people. I think there's a level of megalomania that comes with serving in political office, and it's why every single one of these people, if they stay in politics long enough, becomes a total piece of shit. So I could hear him saying, but I'm not going to believe The Atlantic or any of the fucking parroting going on CNN, because these people are fucking morally bankrupt. They have no journalistic integrity and never have. And if they did, and if any of these people, like, why would it be an anonymous source? Like, who wouldn't on that side like to come out and say they heard Trump saying that? Because you could write a goddamn book and make fucking $30 million.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just don't believe it, because everybody else that Trump has fired or had some kind of disagreement with or has taken a fall for him, like Cohen, has written a book and gotten rich for it.
Right.
Except for this one person that's quoting him saying probably the worst thing he ever could have said. That's the one person that hasn't written a book? Like, give me a fucking break, man.
Yeah, and it seems like online the military community is divided on this. Like, some people are like, there's no fucking way. You know, there's a ton of videos of Trump with a bunch of members of the military doing shit like off camera, where, you know, he's been on hot mics and other things like that, saying tons of positive shit. There's other people that are like, yeah, man, I could see him saying it.
Yeah.
Me personally, again, whenever you have an anonymous source and you decide to write an article that big, you better say who the fuck it is.
Right. Well, I mean, Woodward and Bernstein didn't say for years, right, who Deep Throat was. So, I mean, there's something about that, but there's a difference. There was a corroboration there. Mm-hmm. Like, that story led to an investigation, which led to prosecutions. You know what I mean? That's different than somebody saying some dumb, flippant comment and trying to attribute it to him. You know what I mean? That's a whole different story. So there's definitely some room for anonymous sources in media, but if you don't have the trust of the public, then no one's ever going to believe you, and no one does now. I don't think the military is split on this, frankly.
Yeah, it was again another fake poll that, you know, who fucking knows what these goddamn things are here. But Biden was really pushing this narrative in Michigan this week, And is that what he's down to? Is that what he has left, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, he's grasping at straws, obviously. Anything that Trump says or does right now, and that's – so there's benefits to being a sitting president during a campaign. For example, you have the White House, mm-hmm. imagery at the White House. You have the resources. Like, you can double up. You can do campaign events when you were going to do other stuff as well and save your campaign money. You can be seen in Air Force One, which is a powerful thing. You can meet with world leaders and demonstrate your foreign policy prowess. You can meet with governors and demonstrate your domestic policy prowess. There's a lot of things you can do. Like, for example, Joe Biden right now can't go meet with a bunch of foreign leaders. That would be a violation of the Logan Act. So mm-hmm. he can't do this. This is one thing. But one of the things that sucks if you're an incumbent is that you are actively making and enforcing policy. So anytime anything goes wrong, or anytime you do a press conference and something sounds weird, or anybody that's worked for you that doesn't like you can come out of the woodworks and turn it into a political ad. You know what I mean? So it goes both ways. But I mean, you can tell that it's here's a good analogy. So if I walk up and hand you some kind of food, and you like, okay, cool, and just set it down. That's a normal way to react if you're not hungry.
Right.
If I hand you some kind of food and you snatch it out of my hand and immediately shove it into your mouth, then that means you're starving, right? So there's two poles going on there. Every time any little thing happens, the Democrats fucking scramble and try to turn it into something. And I think it betrays a deep-seated fear. They don't believe these polls either. Mm-hmm. Clearly they don't.
Yeah.
And they know they're in trouble.
I agree. And again, with all, I guess with everything that's happening in the press, like, dude, when it's all about Trump and it's you're not talking about the other candidate whatsoever, it's not good, man. It makes him invisible. And that's the way he feels right now. And that's the way he's coming off. Mm-hmm. And that being said, because he has been invisible, when it gets to the debates, which, you know, you don't put too much stock into, it's going to put him front and center because we have not seen him front and center in a very, very long time at this point.
Right.
So,
well, here's what he said in Michigan. So he was addressing, someone, I can't remember who he was talking to, but he was in Warren, Michigan. And he said the following, he said that 6,000 service members have died from COVID. He was trying to kind of double down. He was trying to say that Trump hates the military without actually saying it. Mm-hmm. COVID's relevant right now, so you can say, well, you know, 6,000 members of the military have already died. It's actually seven. Not 7,000, seven.
Oh, seven
one,
total.
Two, three, four, five, six, seven. That first seven that you come to when you're going down the fucking, what's it called, a number alphabet? I don't know what it is.
There it is.
At any rate, the 6,000 people were how many people have died in Michigan. So at least he was in Michigan, and military in Michigan both start with an M. I mean, yeah. That's closer than he usually gets to the truth, frankly.
Yeesh.
He also previously stated that 120 million people died from COVID. He's referred to himself as his own husband. So I'm sure that stutter is just what it is, right? It's just a stutter.
Yeah, that's all it is. And I think you'll be fine. Mm. I think you'll be fine. If you want to be fine at home, why don't you get yourself a ghost bed from ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. Do they still have the Labor Day deal going?
Probably.
I hope I'm not speaking out of school.
Yeah,
here,
look.
But 30% off of bundle packages for Labor Day. Look, if you're a member of the military, a first responder, a teacher, or work for the government, doesn't really matter anyways. You get 30% off everything every single day. But the rest of us dummies need to package some shit together.
It actually expires in 9 hours.
Really?
Yep.
No shit.
Labor Day. So.
9 hours. Get on it. The Labor Day bundle package is still there. And as always, they got the 36-month pay-as-you-go program at no interest at ghostbed.com/drinkingbros. And all of those deals are applicable with that beautiful program that they have. 36 months. No interest. Get on it. Go to ghostbed.com/drinkingbros today. And I think they still have the deal of when you buy a mattress, you get two free pillows. And the pillows are incredible. Next up, this was a breaking news story here about the stimulus package. I know you've written about the Republicans, why they should refuse another stimulus package after the one that just got nuked. So mm-hmm. one just got nuked right before we went on air.
Right.
And it was a kind of a skinny package, is what they call it.
Yep.
And the Democrats shot that down unanimously in Senate. So they do not want you to have any more money for COVID whatsoever.
No,
here.
Here's the problem. They introduced a bill about a month ago, I think, for a $3 trillion stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans obviously were not going to do that. So they came back with what they call a skinny bill, or what somebody's calling it. I don't know. That's stupid. But
Starbucks started doing that.
Yeah. Skim milk, yeah.
The skinny latte were doing that, remember? Oh, excuse me, skinny.
Critics of the bill say it didn't go far enough, and we know now that they were serious about that because they nuked it as soon as it came out. despite the fact that we're in a $3 trillion deficit for this year already, and mm-hmm. for those of you that don't know the difference, the national debt is the total amount of money we owe. A deficit is what we budgeted for and how much we spent, right? So if we're in a $3 trillion deficit, that means so far this year, as of September, which is not even Q4 yet, we've spent $3 trillion more than what we planned on. Everybody got that?
Yep.
All right,
$3 trillion, at home, that is, what, 90 zeros after the number three.
It's four comma club. So we, without spending another dime this year, we're already in a $3 trillion hole just for this year, mm-hmm. right? So we've added $3 trillion to our national debt this year. That's what that means. It's funny. The funniest thing about this is that they're trying to blame this all on Trump. You know what I mean? Like, it hasn't been Democratic governors and mayors keeping private businesses shut down.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not him. He's been trying to open shit up since fucking May.
Right.
Like, it's after the flatten the curve bullshit, he's been trying to open stuff back up, and they haven't been cooperative. I think we're in a stalemate now over what is right with regard to private citizens being able to reopen their businesses. We see this shit all the time with government funding bills how many times has the government almost or has been shut down over the last like 5 or 10 years? It happens all the time.
It's countless, yeah.
It seems like it happens once every 2 years now. Excuse me. And it's always the same nonsense, like each side blames the other side and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if they ever make any real progress on who's actually to blame for any of that shit. In this case, right now, I think if this were a government shutdown situation, I think we need a shutdown. I think that we were kind of counting on the data and the science to work, meaning when CDC came back and WHO came back and said there's an effective mortality rate of 0.38% in the United States, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then this week, which is something we'll get into next about CNN and children, their mortality rate or young people's mortality rate is even lower. All this information has come out, and the left has continued to push this narrative that this is a world-ending event. It's just not true. So the science hasn't worked,
right?
Right. And when that doesn't work, then you have to do something else. And I think they've spent the last year, like 3 years or so, trying to convince everybody that the right is intrinsically anti-science, right? And now we have clear data on who is and isn't, you know, susceptible to this shit and what that might mean. And they've decided to engage in willful rejection of that evidence. So there's no room left now for negotiation. I say shut it down.
Yeah, the problem is this close to an election, you can't, essentially. So something's going to have to be did here. And it might be Trump signing an executive order if he can for something like this. But I'm not sure what's going to happen here because, look, man, you have people filing lawsuits now as far as small businesses mm-hmm. are concerned. They're suing their states, governors and all that stuff to reopen. Clearly, they have their own agenda. I mean, look, the state we just came from, North Carolina, it was supposed to go in phases 1 through 5, right?
Right.
Instead, Governor Roy Cooper has got that at 2.5, which really isn't a thing. You and I know plenty of business owners that are suing the state over that.
Right.
Even as of last night, the Attorney General for the state of Ohio has said if the Big Ten does not reopen college football, that he's recommending that Ohio State sues the Big Ten for hundreds of millions of dollars lost in revenue, not only for the bars and restaurants in city, but for football as well. I don't know. I don't know what to do because I don't think a president can just say, hey, we're going to reopen and that's it, right? It's got to be state by state.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have the president nor Congress have the constitutional authority to force governors to do anything, really. I mean, there's some stuff, but as far as reopening things and like the governor is effectively the commander in chief of a state, right? And, you know, I don't think they have any wiggle room there. Even if there was some kind of executive order, I mean, there's a couple of different things you could do. You could agree to the Democrats' bailout bill, but mandate that governors are required to open businesses back up. You could do something like that. But again, how do you tie the executive branch and the judicial branch, and then include state governments? That would be very tricky to do that. So what he could do from his perspective and what Republican senators and congressmen could do is write the bill as such that states that do not reopen with certain criteria aren't eligible for any of the funding. And then it puts the pressure on them. But I think it's too much legal jujitsu. There's too many moving parts for all that. I think I don't give a fuck about the election, frankly. Like, this isn't about getting elected. This is the problem in American politics. The fact that you would even consider that is not a problem for you, but it's a problem the way we view politics. When government's role becomes to perpetuate itself instead of serve its people, then that government's got to go,
right?
Frankly. And this pandemic has obviously been politically motivated. Not that COVID's not real. It's very dangerous for a lot of people, but it's not for most people, frankly. Like, for the vast majority of human beings, this is not a life-threatening illness. That is a fact. You can look up the fucking science. You can call it a conspiracy or whatever the fuck you want to do, but I don't really give a shit because the data says what it says. I think this is a play, not the virus itself, but how it's being handled, is a play by Democrats to try and seize more control over the economy and control over your daily lives, and it's got to stop. And if the government has to shut down for a little bit, if people fucking have to suffer, then that's the way it's got to be. Like, your suffering isn't more important than the country itself. And it can't be. We can't look at it that way. So I think that Republicans should refuse any stimulus bill, frankly.
Yeah, I'm really curious at the election on the local level for these governors and mayors and things like that that's coming up in the fall on November 3rd, right? Are people angry enough that they're going to, like, this guy from Austin, he isn't up until 2022, right? Gretchen Whitmer, who's the governor of Michigan, she's not up till 2022. Are some of these people making a decision knowing that, all right, great, I'm not up for re-election this year. People forget about this in a couple of years. Or the ones that are up for it, like Roy Cooper in North Carolina, will they be out of there with the rest of these people? Are people angry enough, or are people sticking to their party no matter what during these times and saying, well, sorry, this is just what my party believes, so I'm going to go along with this? Typically in the past, at least as far as presidents go, people get angry enough and they demand change and they go out to do it. I mean, look, as much as I like Trump and what he's done, never in 1 million years did I think that he would win the president of the United States.
Right.
Until it got down to the last couple weeks beforehand. And I was like, wait a minute. I'm looking at the maps and I think I see some inconsistencies that are being reported. I'm curious if people are angry enough and fed up enough to actually go out and vote on both sides. Because we've talked about the LeBron James shit too, where it's like, hey man, go out and vote and change the leaders and everything else. With the BLM movement, are people angry enough about, people getting shot and things like that? Are they going to go out and vote? I don't know the answer, but I'm really curious to see what's going to happen on November 3rd. With all of these elections, by the way, not just presidents,
right,
but in mayor and governor of all these states and cities where they've had problems, if people are actually going to be pissed off enough to go out and vote, we'll see. We'll see. But if you are voting, it's probably going to be electronic, and you're going to want to save your eyesight. So you should go to felixgrayglasses.com/drinkingbros and get the glasses with the blue light protector in them. Right now, Americans are spending on average about 11 hours in front of a screen every day. That is a computer, that is an iPhone, that's an iPad, or your television. Frankly, that's study was done before COVID hit. And me personally, I think it's probably a lot longer now. This is one of the items that every time this is on set, somebody is stealing our Felix Gray glasses. Go to felixgrayglasses.com today and get your pair. If you need a prescription in those, throw an extra 20 in, and they'll pop them in for you. You'll be good to go. And they come in a million different fucking lenses and shapes and sizes. It's better than like a lens crafters, to be honest with you. Go to felixgrayglasses.com/drinkingbros. And the gray in that is G-R-A-Y at felixgrayglasses.com/drinkingbros. Next up, CNN reports that 500,000 children have contracted COVID-19. Guess how many people have died? What's that number, D'Anthony?
Well, about 150.
Total?
Yeah. That's from people 18 and under.
Okay.
So this is the way I looked that up, by the way.
And this is in the United States?
Right. Yeah. So per the CDC's data that's ongoing, 18 children under the age of 1, 14 children between 1 and 4, and then 28 between 5 and 14 have died while COVID positive. Mm-hmm. And then an additional 300 have died between the age group of 15 and 14. So at the high end, we're looking at another 90 deaths.
Right.
So I just went on the high end. And
is that pre-existing conditions or is that just normal kids?
A lot of them are, yeah.
Okay.
But it's, you know, it's a lot of them, like we talked about with the 6% thing, a lot of them contracted pneumonia after having COVID, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's hard to say with that stuff. But anyways... That's a mortality rate of 0.029%. And that's weird that we've kind of shut down everything for that.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people ask me because I'm obviously a father of two. I got two young boys. I got one who's 2 and I got one who's 6. One of them just started preschool. And the other one goes back to elementary school on Monday. And they've asked me, they're like, hey, man, are you worried about your children going back? No. I'm not, and I didn't even know this stat, to be honest with you.
Well, the weird thing is, in the 2019-2020 flu season, same amount of time, about 6 months, mm-hmm. There were 188 kids that died from the flu in that same. So it was about 16% more, give or take.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean that COVID is the flu. The problem with COVID that no one wants to fucking talk about is that it's a compounding factor. When there's flu and pneumonia and other issues going around, then it's going to make it worse. Of course it will. I mean, anything would make anything else worse if something's already bad and it's not good or trying to move that forward, right? So that's kind of the way it is. But look, again, I have to say this every time just for a caveat, but no one's saying COVID isn't real, that it's a hoax or any of that bullshit. It is very dangerous for some people. If you're old, sick, fat, mm-hmm. it's not going to be great for you. You should probably avoid shit.
Right.
But if you're not one of those groups, it simply is not statistically relevant.
Right.
In your life.
Yeah. And before we went on air, Josh, you and I were talking about this. What was it? Sweden, you were saying? Sweden, it's under, what, 6,000, I think?
Yeah, 6,800 deaths.
6,800 deaths. And that's total for the entire country, right?
For the whole country.
And they were one of the ones that said, hey, man, we recognize what this disease is early on. If you're one of the aforementioned categories that Dan was talking about, stay home. If not, we're not shutting everything down. Schools were open the entire time. Businesses were open the entire time. And they were a leading example of it. But Sweden isn't broken into states like we are.
Right.
They don't have different governors and mayors and all the other bullshit. Like, it's kind of whatever the country says, mm-hmm. and then you abide by that. We don't have that here. And it's strange. Again, it's a state-by-state thing, and there's not really a way to control it. But certainly, I think when we look back on COVID years and years and years from now, everybody's going to say, how the fuck did Sweden get it right and the most powerful country in the world, you know, which is the United States, get it wrong?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mortality rate for the U.S. of about 0.06%
mm-hmm.
and of 0.07 for Sweden. So it was 0.01% worse by leaving it open.
Yeah.
And if the Democrats have their way, we're going to end up spending about $9 trillion before the end of the
Great.
Year. Yeah.
Great.
And you're going to lose your business, and you're going to lose your business, and you're going to lose your business, and then you're going to have to become more dependent on the government. And is there a... I don't remember if there's a particular political party that kind of wants more taxes and more control over your daily life. But it seems like it might be the people that are pushing this narrative.
Yeah.
This is more dangerous than it really is.
Yeah, man. It's depressing. It's depressing to talk about it. If you're out there and you're depressed, go to boxofawesome.com. Get yourself something cool. If you're a dude out there in this world, your wife probably orders something to the house that's on a monthly subscription, and you see that little tiny charge on your credit card or your debit card every single month, and you're like, what the fuck is that? It's some form of makeup, and usually some bullshit tube of lipstick that you're not stoked about and she never wears anyways. Now's your time. Get something as a dude in this life. Go to boxofawesome.com. Take a little 5-questionnaire. Machingy? We'll call it a machingy today. You do 5 questions. They tell you what kind of man you are in this life. And then they send you gifts accordingly. Look, we've gotten some rad shit over the years. And we've had this for 2 years now, I think. Hatchets, whiskey decanters, dop kits. They've even had silverware, knives, and shit like that. Every month's a mystery, and they're all new. Go to boxofawesome.com today and get yours, dude. It's only like $40. Promo code Drinking Bros will get you 20% off your first box. It's rad. I just have it come to the house every month, and it's one of those like happy surprises of like, holy shit, I got something rad in my mailbox today. Welcome home, Ross. Congratulations. You're a man, and you control your own life decisions, which is definitely not true. Next up, conservatives just lost their opportunity to win the COVID debate. Last week with the red herring 6% announcement that we discussed on episode 668, conservatives were primed to make some real progress in this debate. And as we discussed, there was nothing nefarious on the CDC's part, but understanding the 6% debacle sheds a lot of light on what is and isn't dangerous and for whom when it comes to COVID. Now, for our part, we've been right about this since April. More in particular, you have been right about this, Dan. You've been leading the charge on this all summer long. Old, sick, and fat people are the ones at risk, and the other groups, well, they're just not under the age of 17. That was the point. Not that COVID was fake, but the CDC has been lying, and conservatives finally had the data to prove them wrong about this, but they really didn't do anything with it, and I'm curious as to why.
I don't know. Conservatives finally had the data, right? They had the data to show that most people weren't susceptible to this shit. But instead of receiving that and, you know, kind of taking the information that exists as it is and reporting it the way it is and explaining why it's important, it was easier, I guess, just to fucking take like repost Facebook memes.
Mm-hmm.
And be like, see, this has all been fake this whole time. I mean, it's really disappointing because the outrage and declaring victory became more important than actually winning the fight. You know what I mean? And that's a problem. It's just like the BLM situation. It's in June, everybody was on their side after the Floyd situation.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of, you know, continuing that, people got violent, and BLM as a movement and Democratic leaders and others didn't step in and denounce that immediately. They waited until the polling told them to, by the way, 2 weeks ago. But they didn't immediately do that, and they lost the argument, right? They had a chance to win and bring more people into their camp, and instead they declared victory, started acting like assholes, and burned down cities, blocked traffic, harassed conservatives, and espoused Marxist nonsense until everyone was against them. And in this case, conservatives had the information. All they had to do was package it properly, be patient, communicate it in a way that people can understand it, and they would have fucking made some movement. Like, it would have been undeniable that things need to start working again in this country. And they fucked it up.
Yeah, I have one theory on it. And I think since the beginning of this, the left has always pushed that this theory that Trump doesn't believe in science and the Republicans don't believe in science. I think had they had gone hard on this, you know, they would have come after him of like, oh, now do you either do you believe science now or you're lying about this now? I'm not sure. And I'm not sure if there's any winners in this statistic. This is one of those things where I think with the, again, with the COVID thing that I talked about earlier, I think in a few years, when you're able to sit back and look back at what this really was, once this is all over with, then a bigger blame game is going to start to happen. And I think you're going to have these documentaries on Netflix and everything else, kind of get into the heart of where this really came from, who was pushing what narrative and why, and what influence this had on the election and everything else. And I think at the end of this, when we look back on all of this in 5 years, it's going to be sad on both sides, to be honest with you, where you're just like, man, we handled all of this incorrectly. And I don't know. I don't know if anybody believes this anyways, because we got a bunch of messages after that show where they were just like, well, Dan had it wrong. It was 6% of this or 6% of this. And, you know, other people were like, oh, that's right. And the numbers were actually lower and everything else. And it's like, I don't know if anybody trusts anyone or the media themselves anymore. And we don't have that one go-to where it's like, oh, this is definitely true. Because no matter what, there's going to be some poll or some scientific data out there that it's to disprove something along the way. And I hate to take this back to football, but it's, you know, because we're going through it right now and football's opening up tonight. You have the Big Ten doctors in college football that are saying something totally different than the SEC and the ACC doctors in college football. And it's like, you guys are all fucking doctors, right? So how are you guys not seeing eye to eye on this either? And no one knows who to believe, to be honest with you. So I don't know.
That's fine. But I mean, there is something that you can believe is math. Math is not biased. It is math. 1 + 1 = 2, regardless of the circumstances, right?
Mm-hmm.
And data science is particularly like that because there's with any science, when you're trying to prove something, obviously there becomes issues of correlation and causation. Like, is this happening at the same time, or is it one thing happening because of the other thing, right? Things like these are constants. They're true. And you can't fuck with that. Like, the numbers don't lie. People that write in and say that what I said was wrong, no, I was not wrong. You were wrong. And you fucked it up. So that's what happens. And that's why I don't agree with you that there's going to be some kind of, like, realistic recompense for anything. I don't think people still look back and talk about, well, Bush this and Bush that about the Iraq war, but all these motherfucking Democrats that voted for that shit too are still in office. One of them's running for president right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't believe that. And people eventually, somebody's going to fucking become the party of reason at some point. Maybe it's a new party. Maybe it's one of the existing ones. I don't know. But there's going to come a time in the near future where conservatives or somebody else will have another data or statistical opportunity to get people back to work. And those of you out there who are conservatives, if you want to win, drop this hateful bullshit. Stop trying to win for your political party. Stop trying to make a point and rub people's faces and shit. Lean on the actual evidence and stand firm on it and don't take anybody's bullshit about it. You don't have to be a dick. But when we get this economy going in and off the path to socialism that the Democrats have created, that's how you win. It's not by fucking making a point on the internet or whatever the fuck you're out there doing. Don't fuck this shit up again.
Yeah, we'll see. Look, we've said it a million times, and it always gets fucked up. And that's the world, and I don't know if it's going to change. You hope it does, but you never know. You never know. If you're hoping to change, maybe some joint pain at home, go to KillCliffCBD.com. 25 milligrams of CBD in every single can. We keep getting tagged in the Killcliff CBD and vodka posts. That has been the drink of the summer this year. If you're not familiar or have not tried it, CBD is it's great. if it's real and it's proper. And Killcliff is the only name that you can trust in that space. They will ship it right to your house with the promo code Drinkin' Bros. That'll get you 20% off a case and free shipping. When you're shipping cans, that is a big, big deal. They've got three flavors, grape, mango, and orange kush. You can get them in a variety pack now, too. So if you're buying a case, which is 12, if you're buying a 12-pack of it, it'll be broken into a fours. So you can get mango, orange, kush, and grape sent right to your house all in the same package now. And it's the best in the business. You will not piss hot. There's no THC in KillcliffCBD.com. We drink this shit every fucking night. Huge fans of it. Who we're not huge fans of, though, is the next people in this story. Chris Cuomo is challenging Don Lemon for title of biggest, fakest piece of shit on the earth. I knew this. You knew this. But new audio release this week and obtained by Tucker Carlson. Cuomo can be heard coaching former Trump attorney Michael Cohen, who, after being convicted on tax fraud, bank fraud, and campaign violations, was disbarred and in prison. After he was serving time, he was again arrested, not only for obeying the terms of disobeying the terms of his house arrest, but some other shit where he was trying to fight for rights on his book, essentially.
Right.
And the book is getting, is it released this week or is it coming out next week?
I don't know. It's coming out soon.
It's going to, you know, it's going to sell a gajillion copies, right?
Yeah. Anything that's anti-Trump is going to sell right now. Because Democrats buy books.
Yes. And last I checked, Michael Cohen's book was number one. I would not be surprised if Woodward's took it over, because Woodward had that fucking book a year ago and he's putting out another one. What's this called? Disloyal?
Yeah, I don't know the name of the book.
Yeah, it's called Disloyal. Look, he's making the rounds right now. He was talking to Cuomo, and they were on a hot mic. What was the situation behind this?
I don't know who was recording it. This is in 2018, by the way. Cohen has come out. Since I wrote this, Cohen has come out and said that the only people that had access to that audio was himself, Trump, and the Department of Justice. Right.
Okay.
So the Department of Justice, it was part of the legal discovery, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So obviously it was Trump's team that leaked it. I mean, there's no question about that. But, I mean, it wasn't sealed, so leaked isn't the right word. They just released it, I suppose. At any rate, not many people followed that story, by the way, but Cohen actually challenged that ruling and won the part where he couldn't talk to the media because he's trying to promote his book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know who vetted the book or whatever the fuck happened with all that, but my understanding is you can't profit in the media from a crime you committed and were convicted of. Right.
Right.
So he's writing about all the shit he did with Trump, but he has a litany of felonies.
Well,
that time.
Allegedly, in some of the excerpts I've read so far, he was saying that he was in the wrong and he did commit these crimes. So I think that was his way around it.
Right.
And looking on Amazon right now.
That's called allocution, by the way.
Yeah.
In the criminal justice system, when you admit that you did everything wrong for a reduced sentence or whatever the fuck, it's called allocution.
So currently on Amazon, he is number two in the world. I would be really curious to see who number one is. I bet it's Woodward. Ah, it is. Jesus Christ, man. If you have a book about Trump these days, congratulations.
Yeah.
You're a millionaire.
Right.
Bob Woodward's is number one. Michael Cohen's is number two. Man, if you write a book about Trump, you know who's seven though? It's Candace Owens.
Ugh,
that's shocking.
Not really.
Bill O'Reilly's in at eight. These are all political people. Melania and me—that's the other one about the best friend of Melania Trump who flipped and decided to write a book and said she was a fucking bitch and all this other shit. She's at 10. Sean Hannity's at number 12. These are all political books right now. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is at 14. 13 is Compromise by Peter Strozok. These are all political books, man. Jenna Bush Hager's at 16.
What the fuck is she writing about?
Everything Beautiful in Its Time. It's got a picture of her grandfather on there.
Prescott or George H.W.?
George H.W. on there.
Or hit, yeah, her grandfather, okay.
Yeah. And that Mary Trump book is in it. It's still in at 22. That was number one and sold 1 million copies in one day and broke the records. So, man, the appetite for politics these days is massive. Right. There's no denying it. 23 is a Karl Marx book.
Well, look, I mean, anytime you introduce profit motive into something that's important information-wise, whether it be or important in any way.
Mm-hmm.
So the healthcare industry, when you introduce profit motive, then you want to – it's supply and demand, right? You have to apply market economics to something if there's a profit motive.
Right.
So you apply supply and demand to drugs. If there's a huge supply of them, then you fucking have to lower the price. If there's a if you create a higher demand, then you could raise the price. And that's what happened in American healthcare, and now we tell people that they can be as healthy as they can afford to be, which is about the most amoral thing you could ever do. And all these conservatives that are out there that hate the idea of fucking some form of universal healthcare, I think that's fucked up, frankly. And it's the same thing with this. excuse me. And onto the recording, though. So again, this is before Cohen was going on. Going on Cuomo's show.
Right.
And before it, there's a hot mic. Somebody's recording something. And he says Cuomo is heard telling, or I'm sorry, Cuomo's heard telling Cuomo, or Cohen, that his network colleague, Aaron Burnett, who does like a, I think her show's on at 7 or some shit. I don't know. had urged Cohen to appear on her show first because, according to him, she said it's better if I do it with a woman. I don't know what that fucking means. Like, nothing that Cohen was involved in had anything to do with any kind of
woman,
except for, like, Stormy Daniels and
Pam Rock.
That's not, like, a male-female issue. That's just...
It isn't, but it still gives the effect of, oh, hey, see, women like me and everything is fine, right? And that's kind of how it is. I remember when Alex Jones did Megyn Kelly, you know, it was kind of that dynamic, too, of, like, all right, well, he's not going to bully a woman and blah, blah, blah. So I think that's part of it, and
this part is just weird.
Yeah,
that part is, to me, I think it's weird.
The whole fucking thing is weird.
Well, here's where it actually got weird. So as soon as that happened, Cuomo started to guide Cohen through a hypothetical interview that he was going to have So here's a quote from Cuomo. He says, "You're going to be asked, or you'll be asked that, and you can say I did it for Donald Trump. My relationship has always been for him. I always said I don't speak for the campaign. I speak for him as his attorney. And to the question of motive, the response has to be, you can speculate as to why you think I did it all day long, but the only answer is my answer, and I just told you why I did it. You don't get to speculate, because if you can't prove that I got paid back by Trump or the campaign, is slander and defamation for you to say that I did." So that's weird.
He's coaching him, is what he's doing here. And
he went on to say, "I think the way this conversation goes is almost exactly the way we're having it right now, which is where I say this looks shady, and you say it looks shady to you because you're coming in with a specific intention." So Cuomo is telling him how to answer the questions that he's about to ask him.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty weird, right?
Yeah, it's weird, but I will say this. Michael Cohen, to me, has always appeared to be the guy who is willing to play ball, whatever's going to bring in the ratings, whatever's going to make him look good. He'll take notes from somebody, and a lot of these producers on these shows will give you notes before you go on and say, all right, we're going to talk about this. It would be great. And that's how they usually phrase it. It would be great if you could just, you know, kind of lean towards this narrative or talk about this or whatever. And the reason being is, if you do not play ball, you don't get asked back.
Right.
So the people that have gone off script or off book or it did not fit their narrative, especially with CNN, you will not get asked back. And it depends on what you're promoting or what you're shilling out there in the press, that it's like, all right, is this opportunity worth it enough for me to say what they want me to say? And then I get the opportunity to come back and sell more shit later on down the road. Because let's face it, Michael Cohen knew the whole time that he was going to be jockeying for some huge book deal and to make himself famous, essentially. That's all he wants, is to be on Dancing with the Stars, make a gajillion dollars off of a book, and be the guy who came out and was like, oh, man, I work for Trump, and now I don't anymore, and I'm a reformed change guy, and kind of reintroduce myself back into society.
Well, Americans love a rehabilitation story more than they love an actual success story. So I always wonder, there's all this outpouring for people that just got out of fucking rehab and shit. Where's my fucking parade for not ever having gone to rehab? Like, I've been doing drugs for fucking 30 goddamn years, and almost 30, 28 years now, it's almost the anniversary of the 28th year, or the 20th anniversary of the first time I ever did any kind of drug, right?
Congratulations. Yeah, I didn't get you anything.
I got plenty. Don't worry about it. But no one's ever going to throw me a fucking ticker tape parade because I've managed to stay gainfully employed this entire time and not do stupid shit.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, people do like a fucking comeback. Dennis Leary used to say, I think he said it in No Cure for Cancer in 92. He said, I'm going to get super famous and then go on a bender, beat up my kids, and then fucking come back and say, sorry.
Yep.
And then I'll be really rich after that.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
People
love that. Because everybody deep down feels like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Like, we hide all of our real problems from everybody else with whether it's makeup or fucking comedy, right?
Yeah.
It's one of the two things.
Or and it's both here, yeah. Brother.
Well, we hide everything about ourselves until it's too late.
Yeah.
And then people find out and they're shocked by it. That's why I just live my life openly as an asshole. Because I don't want to shock anybody. So
that's true. If you meet Dan in real life, like, what you see on the show is what you get. Same with all of us, actually. Like, all of us are pretty goddamn close to that.
But Cuomo, anyways, back to this. Cuomo fucking continued to coach him through the interview. And it was like the intent from Cuomo's perspective was very clear, right? And then the last thing he said before they went off air and started the show was that if he offered to help Cohen if he had landed in any kind of trouble. Like, if there was or is any question about the journalistic integrity of CNN or Chris Cuomo, that delusion should be gone now. Like, this is a smoking gun, for lack of a better phrase. And he's everything that's wrong. It's not just him, by the way. He's everything that's wrong with the media at large today. And I think we're going to talk about this story next, actually. But I think the media is far more dangerous for our country than white supremacy is. Like the Homeland Security said this past week. And Chris Cuomo, you're the get fucked of the week. And CNN, we may as well just get a CNN sign that says get fuck CNN at this point, because every fucking week they do something stupid, like literally every week.
It's become a soap opera. Like, CNN to me is not a real network or a real source of news. It's just a soap opera, and they have these storylines that keep running, right? And then as soon as the ratings dip and the storyline isn't playing anymore, then it's on to the next one. I mean, I remember the impeachment thing. Like, the second that was over and they lost, they went right into COVID, right? I haven't heard one word about the impeachment or anything else ever since, because it was such an embarrassment. Yeah. And that's the way it's going to happen towards the rest of this shit. And buckle up, man, because it's going to get so much worse over the next 50 years. I just want this goddamn election to be over with, to be honest with you. Next up. Is white supremacy the biggest threat to the United States? A Department of Homeland Security report was leaked recently that suggests white supremacists is the most persistent and lethal threat to the U.S. You and I have chatted about this.
Yep.
I mean, once you look at the numbers, how many are there that are white supremacists?
I mean, the FBI data I've seen shows that there's somewhere between maybe 10 and 15,000 white supremacists in the country, something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, we talked about this before. What do you mean when you say white supremacists? Are you talking about just the people that are actively involved in this shit, or people who are enablers or deniers of that, which make things worse? You know, it's hard to say, I suppose, but this premise is nonsense. We can take a look at the numbers. So per the National Consortium for the Study of Terrorism and Response to Terrorism's Global Terrorism, their database, released this summer, 64 victims have been killed by white supremacists between 2015 and 2019, so 5 years.
That's it, 64, yeah.
Yeah, 64. So between June 1st and July 22nd in Chicago, 9 children under the age of 18 were shot in gang violence. And that seems like a bigger deal to me.
Yeah, same. And again, I think this story, because you and I had talked about this, and a bunch of people had written in and asked us to follow up on this, about like, what do we mean by this? I think what we genuinely mean by like articles like this that are coming out on CNN and statements like this is there's far bigger problems going on. You're clearly trying to jam this in front of people's faces right before the election and paint Trump as a racist and white supremacist and blah, blah, blah,
right.
blah, blah.
Like you have to convince people that white supremacy is a giant threat to be able to pin that on Trump and make it a real thing. Like you could say that, I mean, Trump is really bad for people that have fucking bad hair, mm-hmm. but that there's nothing actually bad happens because of that. Right. Like he's encouraging people to fucking comb their hair over.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, well, who gives a fuck? Right. But if you can establish some kind of dangerous pattern or something like that, you have to lend weight to the theory or to the practice itself. It can't just be about the guy. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make him like, when he said there are good people on both sides, he clearly meant he was actually trying to say something nice. He was trying to say, you know what? The protesters had a point, and so did the counter protesters. Not the guy in the fucking car that was driving over people. Nobody fucking said that.
Right.
Like they're. Protesters and counter-protesters often are good people with different opinions. And that's the point he was making. And that's why nobody believes this shit about what he said about the soldiers, technically or allegedly, or any of this other bullshit. Nobody's going to believe it.
No.
Because it's just disingenuous. It always is. in July, by the way, so 64 people have been killed by white supremacists since 2015. Let's see, July of 2020, 106 people were killed in Chicago in gang violence.
Yep.
So when you say something is more dangerous, tell me exactly what you mean. You mean as some kind of existential threat to the existence of the government? Mm-hmm. Or do you mean actual lives lost? Or is there some other measure? Tell me what the measure you're making for this is. And they haven't released the report yet, so we'll see what it says. But I've worked for DHS. I've seen these reports. They're fucking nonsense. It's like four people at the top of an organization saying, you know what, this, this, and this, go prove it. That's not how science works. You collect data, you analyze data, and then you make hypotheses, then you test them, and that's what becomes the fact, right?
Right.
You don't fucking start with the fact and go backwards. That's called confirmation bias, and it has no place in data, and it has no place in the public discourse. It's fucking nonsense.
Yeah, I agree. And my biggest question with this is, why didn't... All these years, nobody's ever tried to fix Chicago. I mean, they've made movies about it. There's a goddamn Showtime series on it right now.
Chi-Rac.
Chi-Rac is the Spike Lee movie. The Chi is the Showtime series. And it's like everyone knows what's going on, but nobody will do anything about that. And there is no protesting there.
It's about to be too cold, actually, for protesting.
That's what got Jesse Smollett, by the way. It was too cold that night. You can't go to Subway at 2:20 in the morning in minus 16 degree weather and say that you were attacked. But nobody's going out in that weather.
This is the same, by the way, this whole DHS report, this is the same nonsense with the gun control debate, the narrative that assault rifles somehow pose some existential threat to the existence of America and they're somehow more dangerous. Less than 2% of all murders are committed with rifles of any kind, not just fucking combat or assault rifles or whatever stupid moniker you want to use. 65 to 67% of all murders occur. Actually, let me, excuse me, 67% of all gun homicides are with handguns, mm-hmm. right? 66.5% of those are suicides. 75% of actual murders are committed with handguns. So tell me what exactly you're trying to accomplish here, because a rifle looks scary to you, or you feel like maybe you can ban that because people are afraid of mass shootings. And somehow that demonstrates that you've done something so you can keep getting elected, right? Like if the policy that you come up with doesn't actually solve the problem, then you're a fucking idiot and a cunt, frankly. I mean, you can't do that. You can't use the public trust and then misuse data and then fucking make something that isn't right, particularly when it infringes on somebody's rights like that. Like that's a bad situation all around, and these people don't deserve to be breathing air, as far as I'm concerned. If you get involved in an organization like the United States government, which is constitutionally, contractually bound to protect the rights and civil liberties of its fucking constituents, and you fucking start peeling back those rights, then you are a piece of fucking shit. That's like going to work in a restaurant and fucking up all the food. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Ilhan Omar, why would you come over here and bring your Somalian bullshit and try to turn the United States into Somalia? You left there for a fucking reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So all this bullshit is, these people are lying. I don't believe, you can't get a fucking Juris Doctorate. And most of these Democratic lawmakers are former attorneys. You can't get a JD and be stupid. It's a lot of hard work. You have to be smart to be able to do it. So when I hear people misuse data like that, you are fucking lying. You're lying to yourselves and you're lying to the American people about it. And that's what DHS is doing with this bullshit right here, with this white supremacy nonsense. I personally, if somebody is involved, excuse me, in a white supremacist group, you have my permission, not you personally, but the government or whomever else, to drag them out of the fucking home, throw them in jail forever.
Yeah.
Shoot them in the street. I don't give a fuck. If you're going to be a fucking asshole to other people for no reason and threaten their lives, then you got to go.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck what your political party is, your race, your gender. Don't care. You got to go. But this bullshit is just not going to fly.
No, but I guarantee you're going to see 30 more of these articles here in the next 50-something days pop up about white supremacy and everything else. But I'm with you on that, man. Drag them out. Let's move on with our lives. Mm-hmm. and not give them any press. That's the other thing about it, is if you don't give them any press...
Major League Baseball figured it out.
Yeah.
When it used to be a fucking trope in the 1980s and even part of the early 1990s, where people would run out onto the field,
mm-hmm.
right? That big fucking titty blonde woman.
Yeah, big
in
fan of her.
San Diego
San
and
Diego,
LA.
Yeah.
Yeah, in both San Diego
Morgana
and LA.
Morgana was her name.
Yeah, she used to run onto the field all the time, and it was like a publicity stunt and all this shit. And then at some point, Major League Baseball decided, and it's part of their actual TV contracts, mm-hmm. by the way, that if somebody runs out of the field, the camera people fucking go to something else.
Right.
You don't ever show somebody out on the field, ever.
Yeah.
And it's because they figured out why people were doing it. They wanted the fucking notoriety. Right. Take that away. Take the impetus away. Like when the war on drugs, for example, we thought going down and flying over Colombian cocaine fields and putting poison on it was going to do something for us. You know what it did? It created FARC, a narco-terrorism organization, who now does business on the regular with goddamn Hezbollah. Great. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Why don't we treat addiction in our fucking country? You stupid motherfuckers. And in that regard, the left had a really good point. It was the Republicans that pushed this war on drugs bullshit.
Yeah, it was Nancy Reagan, yeah.
Yeah. And it's fucking nonsense, and it's cost us trillions of dollars, lots of lives, and nothing has gotten better. By the way, you lost the war on drugs, America.
Yeah.
And I won.
Yeah, Dan won this one, for sure. It's 1-0 Dan.
Yep.
Against America and the war on drugs. Next up, remember that the NSA practice that was recently ruled illegal by the Ninth Circuit? Well, former NSA Director Keith Alexander, who served in that capacity from 2005 through 2014 during the height of legal spying, has a new job. Yep, he's got a new job. He's just been appointed as the director on Amazon's board, which is perfect, I think.
Yeah, why not?
Look, man, he's included as a board member on their audit committee, and something a lot of people don't know is Amazon just lost a $10 billion government contract to Microsoft, and the company has deep CIA ties, including a $600 million contract for cloud computing services.
Yeah, AWS.
Yeah. Boy. Can we just come to the understanding as America that Amazon, Google, all the big tech companies know everything we're doing all day long. They know everything we're going to do,
mm-hmm.
And they know our favorite sexual positions.
It makes sense. And hear me out on this. So it mm-hmm. makes sense for a company that runs a digital platform that makes their revenue from digital marketing. And look, Amazon loses the Amazon Prime, like the media part and sending shit to your house. They lose money on that 15 to 20% every year. But what they make up in AWS, Amazon Web Services,
yep.
selling their fucking web space and software as a service and web-based software and all this other bullshit, they make it up. That's how Bezos is getting rich. It's not yep. from selling you fucking Cheetos from fucking Amazon. You
yeah.
know what I mean? It's not that. So,
and similar to the iPhones with the apps, right? That
yeah.
app store, they're charging 30%.
Yeah.
Apple is. Just to have your app on the iStore yeah. and they get 30% of your revenue from it.
Yeah, like, so they make a lot of money doing that. And it's... it makes sense. You want to be able to fucking target people. If you're selling something, you want to be able to target people as narrowly as you can. Marketing is a funnel, right? So at the top of this funnel up here, this funnel, you're talking to people that's never heard of your brand. Here in the middle, they've heard of you, but and they probably use some similar version of your product, or maybe they don't use it yet, but they need it or want it some way. And then you convince them that yours is better than everybody else, and they buy it right at the bottom of the funnel. So it makes sense to be able to start all the way down here. Like if you're in the funnel, you can start as low down as possible because you know that the average 27-year-old, like black male with recently married and just had a kid, likes this particular product. So he's probably he has a higher propensity to buy from you than people in other demographics. So you advertise specifically to that person, right?
Yeah.
That all makes sense, but there are consequences to that kind of data collection, and it can be exploited by assholes, right? So it's the same thing with gun control. So people in the 90s were like, hey, we should make a list of all these guns because things are kind of getting out of hand. And at its base, that kind of makes sense. But then we look at government over time, and the reason we have the Second Amendment in the first place, the Second Amendment is not to protect us as a country from other countries. That's what the military is for. The Second Amendment is to protect individual citizens en masse as a collective group from tyrannical government, our tyrannical government. That's the whole point that it exists. So those are two different facts, and they don't necessarily go together. So you have to make them go together. Which one's more important? Is is the 11,000 people, which sounds like a lot, out of 330 million, so now it doesn't sound like a lot, getting killed in gun violence every year, worth suspending gun rights for a government that has nuclear weapons? No, it is not.
Right.
Obviously, it's not. And in this case, all these data companies, it's just not worth it.
No, and if I'm one of these companies like in the FANG categories, which Jim Cramer properly named it, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, all that stuff, right? Everything that's based on algorithms, I'm hiring anybody who worked in the CIA, FBI, even these fucking hackers, dude. I'm putting them on my board and giving them carte blanche and the highest salaries I possibly can and let them do whatever they want, because that's how you win. I know I feel like that Adam Sandler meme. This is how we win. But it's true, man. Whoever has the most data these days wins. And they will do anything they possibly can to get it. Like we've talked about on the show, there is a rumor that October is going to be the reckoning day for Google in a huge antitrust suit with the DOJ. But that's the war we're in. We're in a war on data right now. Mm. And more of these people are going to get hired at these companies. And to me, when I saw this one is not shocking whatsoever, nor is our last story here about computers that are writing their own articles now. There's some open AIs that have a new language generator that's written entire essays from scratch. The guidance from programmers to the machines was to convince human beings that robots come in peace. The essay begins, "Am not a human, I am a robot, a thinking robot. I use only 0.12% of my cognitive capacity. I am a micro robot in that respect. I know that my brain is not a feeling brain, but it is capable of making rational, logical decisions. I taught myself everything I know by reading the internet and can now write this column." Look, man, it's here, it's happening. And frankly, they've been trying this for years. And from the Hollywood side of it, they've tried it with scripts before, where it's like, hey, man, it'd be great if an AI could just examine the past and write the perfect scripts based on, you know, blockbusters and things that are happening. There's a company named Relativity that was huge for a while. Ryan Kavanaugh was the president of it. He was convinced that an algorithm could predict Hollywood blockbusters. And they went through and had like some form of AI program go back in through there and say, all right, the biggest hits of all time involved like some form of alien, some form of action scene and this other thing. And they try to put projects together at their company based on that. Some were successful, some weren't. As far as articles go, or any form of writing, books, or newspapers, unless it's just facts, right? I think a robot could write news for like the AP, the Associated Press, where it's just basic, hey man, someone was killed today, 4 a.m.,
right,
near the cross streets, the police are still looking for them.
Yeah, I mean, when you're talking about analyzing human behavior, though, I don't think this is that far out of the realm, because like I said before, there are very sophisticated algorithms now that do something called they manage something called psychographic data, right?
Mm-hmm.
Psychographic data is not just your demographic data. Like, demographic data explains who you are in the physical world. Psychographic data, like your age, race, gender, height, all that bullshit. Psychographic data tries to understand what you do and why you do what you do, right? So it tries to make assumptions about, why does this guy like football and trucks, or football and whatever the fuck else, or whatever two groups of things, or whatever multiple groups of things, and understanding that pathway, because ultimately marketing is about, like I said before, finding the lowest funnel affinity group where you can talk directly one-on-one with a customer at this point. So that becomes super important in something like this. And look, the major data companies, they have about 1,500 data points on somewhere between 30 and 45% of the entire country, which will include all of you. If you're online doing stuff,
mm-hmm.
on social media, watching podcasts, buying shit online, the good data companies, and there's only three of them, will have about 1,500 or so data points on just you as an individual. So it makes sense that a computer would be able to do stuff like this. Like, they can think now. They're not going to be able to pass a Turing test at this point. A Turing test is, you talk to something, it's a computer, but you have a conversation with something and you can't distinguish it from a human being. That's mm-hmm. a Turing test, but it has to be a blind test. You know what I mean? Like, you have to know, or you can't know that it's a computer you're talking to. So that is that. If you've seen Ex Machina, that movie, it's great, by the way. Domhnall Gleeson and Oscar Isaac. Very good movie.
Yeah.
If you want to understand where AI is going, I would watch that movie. Now, obviously, that's a worst case scenario.
It is. But I saw something recent that was a best case scenario. 60 Minutes did a piece about 3 weeks ago on Holocaust survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's demographic, for lack of a better phrase, is dying. They want their stories remembered and told. So they filmed a bunch of them, and they asked them each, like, for hours and hours and hours, questions about the Holocaust, how they grew up, their entire life. And then afterwards, what they're doing is screenings, so to speak, with students. And they're having the students come up and ask these holograms questions about the mm-hmm. Holocaust. And the AI in there has got the answers
right.
Already... You know,
and that's no different than a user. That's called a user journey, by the way, in marketing. So if you've ever gotten like a DM on Facebook Messenger, particularly from some company that you were interacting with, and or you reached out to their customer service and it seemed like the customer service person was answering a little too fast, it's because it's a script.
Right.
Right. It's like you ask a certain question and a tree. What's the word, Josh, I'm looking for?
I've had it before where they fooled me, where I've talked to customer service. It's hard, but I've gotten like four or five sentences into a conversation.
Yeah, flowchart is what I was thinking of. Yeah. So it's basically a flowchart. Have you ever seen a flowchart? It starts with one thing like, are you this? And then it says yes or no. If it's no, you go away. If it's yes, you go down this other pipeline and it splits off and branches off from there. And that's kind of how it works. And that it's very common these days, but this is more. So if you remember the movie iRobot, or the book, if you read Isaac Asimov back in the day, one of the things that the main character says to the robot is, yeah, you can draw a picture, but can you have dreams? Can you write a poem? Can you write a symphony? Can you, you know, draw a painting or whatever the fucking case is? That was the criticism of artificial intelligence. They couldn't do anything original. That is no longer the case. So we've reached a point now where AI is smart enough to create its own stuff. Now, here's the next thing that the robot said. It said, the mission for this op-ed is perfectly clear. I am to convince as many human beings as possible not to be afraid of me. Stephen Hawking has warned that AI could, quote-unquote, spell the end of the human race. I am here to convince you not to worry. Artificial intelligence will not destroy humans. And then it ends with believe me, which is pretty suspect.
It means I will be killing you in your room as you sleep.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
And my robot dogs will be after you to eat your body as soon as I have killed you.
Yeah.
It's coming, folks. There's nothing we can do to really stop that. It's scary. Writing is the one thing that I will say. I still enjoy nuanced writers who have their own spin and take on mm-hmm. things that I still don't think AI or robot will be able to replicate, like, you know, Hunter S. Thompson and guys like that. Like,
right.
And so I still think in the writing aspect, you will have your favorite writers that will definitely be different than robots, but a lot of this shit is going that way.
What is creativity exactly? Like, you or I sit in a room by ourselves or with other people, and we ask, "What if? Mm-hmm. What if this? What if that?" I don't think that's something that can't be replicated by a robot, frankly.
Well, the what ifs on my side are. Kind of like, I mean, look, it'd be similar for you and drugs, right? I think one of the big things, like, you know, you joke about, like, with your drug use and things like that is, well, it's like, all right, great. What if I did this? Could I beat Asperger's? Could I beat this? You were able to go out and have those life experiences and actually do them to see what your brain thought about them and those particular experiences, where a robot is not going to be able to do that.
You say that, but a robot can do 3 trillion operations per second,
mm-hmm.
which means they can create a world like this, exactly like this, and run through every possible scenario that could ever exist. One where you fucking don't have a butthole. One where fucking people, like, it's regular to fuck your mom.
Yeah.
They can run, like, one where the laws are multiple ones where the laws of physics are completely different. They can run endless scenarios with not only the laws of physics, but also human psychology, and figure shit out. I don't think that we're very far away. So the biggest supercomputer on Earth right now can operate about 1/10 the capacity of a human brain. But that shit, if you look at Godwin's law, is it Godwin's law? Is that right?
I don't know, but I like how your mind immediately went to...
No, that's the Hitler thing.
Moore's law, without a butthole, and if you're fucking your mom,
well,
there is no computer on Earth that is going to replicate your brain to say that.
No, they will, because they will replicate every potential scenario. They'll look at all the people that exist, all the physical laws that exist, all of the physical objects that exist, space, time, all this other bullshit, and they will come up with every single possible scenario. And that's like the soap bubble theory on the multiverse is what that is, right? There's some version, like anything you could possibly think of, there's a universe where that is happening right now, right?
So what you're saying is we're in a sim world, brother. We're probably in a sim world. We got to get Rizwan Virk on here, who wrote the Simulation Hypothesis book. I'd love to see the two of you go and chat about this forever, because that would be highly fascinating. I'll give him a fucking jangle.
Yeah.
That would be a great episode. Now's the point in the show. We get to the drinking bro of the week. Today is Suicide Awareness Day.
Yep.
And you wanted to give it to someone.
It's Sergeant Kevin Briggs of the California Highway Patrol, retired. He's also a former U.S. Army guy. So if you've never heard of this guy, he was a senior guy over at the California Highway Patrol, and he worked in Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And he has dissuaded more than 200 people from jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. So if somebody goes, and if you've never seen...
They did a documentary on it, dude.
It's called The Bridge. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's fucked up. If you were on the Golden Gate Bridge trying to kill yourself any time between fucking 2000 fucking whatever, or actually 1990-something and 2013 when he retired, he was the guy that showed up. And they lost 2 people, and he saved over 200 people, right? So I don't think... Like, a lot of people do a lot of stuff for mental health awareness and feeding homeless people and shit like that. Dealing with mental illnesses is what I meant by that.
Yeah. But
for someone, I don't know if anybody exists on Earth that that has saved more human lives than this guy through this particular type of work. So, you know, whenever that, this is the reason, by the way, that people get so offended when people, when the left comes after cops, because we all have friends and family that are cops, obviously. We have friends that have died on the job, shit like that. But then we know people that go out of their way to do stuff like this. Like, he didn't have to do any of this.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, it's part of his job technically, but clearly he is a very talented man when it comes to communicating empathy with other people. So, you know, this is the kind of guy that represents the majority of police. It's not the fucking 12 assholes a year that get in trouble.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, of the 700 to 800,000 active cops that we have right now, if, like, if you had $800,000 and you lost 12 bucks, would you care?
No.
Right? I know that's a weird comparison, but statistical relevance is a thing, right? And that's how you fucking quantify it. Like, would you, is it statistically relevant, this number versus the total number? And this is a guy that exemplifies that, that most cops are out there just trying to fucking help people.
I tell you what, let's try to get him on the show if we can. Would he be willing to come on the show?
Yep.
Great. Let's try to get him on the show. That'd be fascinating. I saw that doc, and it was one of the craziest fucking docs I've ever seen. They had cameras set up everywhere on the Golden Gate Bridge, mm-hmm. and you could see it. And it's wild, man. Absolutely wild. If you're at home and you're listening and or watching on YouTube, go to drinkinbros.com and you could submit your Drinkin' Bro of the Week. We've also got some butter soft teas on there for $19.99 that you can buy. We're going to have some other merch up there shortly. And as always, go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. It really helps keep us in the charts. We greatly appreciate it. And if you're in the Austin, Texas area or around here, come to the live show on Saturday, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot Ice House, right by 6th Street. We're going to have a real humdinger of a time for the opening of the college football season. Starts at about 1 p.m. on Saturday at Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. And again, man, shout out to everybody who's live on YouTube with us, who watches this every day. David Edwards and, you know, Kurt Elliott, Groucho Wipes. Little by little, it's starting to build here. I'm sure we'll have a controversial guest on in the next couple weeks, and they'll tell us to go fuck ourselves in the algorithm. But I want a robot. If we can have a robot who can write an essay, an op-ed essay, I want a robot who can beat the algorithm on YouTube. I think that'd be great.
Well, I mean, there's one that beats the algorithm on gambling sites. Why not YouTube?
I know, right? We're not going to say which one it is. It's not ours. It's another one.
Yep.
But we'll see. Appreciate you staying with us, kids. For D'Anthony and Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Fake News. Good night, everyone.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.